What we've learned from hiring 100+ mortgage assistants. In the short 10-minute episode, I'm going to share with you some tactics and some stories and examples of what I've learned from hiring over 100 mortgage assistants. And man, we've made all the mistakes. And so I'm going to share with you three different strategies you can use and the pros and cons of each. I'm going to talk about the number one method that I see almost every top producer use. And it's not what most people think. And I'm also going to share with you the biggest mistake I see people make when they're hiring, especially part-time help. If you are needing to hire, thinking about hiring, I recommend you go check out episode 544. I share the replacement ladder and I break down who to hire and in what order so you can scale systematically. And I'm your host, Scott Peckford. This is the I Love Mortgage Brokering podcast, the number one podcast for mortgage brokers and loan officers. And I'm excited to chat with you about this today because hiring and building a team is an important part of building a great business. So before we jump into that, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. It's got some cool features, smart docs being one of them. As the client's filling out the application, it knows what documents they need. It's got smart submission notes, pulls key data from the application to submit to your lender, and is also connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the best tool for searching rates and guidelines. Check them out at lendesk.com/Finmo. All right, let's talk about how to systematically scale your hiring. So the mistake that I see people make is the number one mistake when I talk to mortgage brokers, and if you go back and listen to my podcasts, you're going to see is that they always say, I waited too long to hire. It was like, I should have hired sooner. Usually mortgage brokers, we go through this cycle of learning how to be a mortgage broker, learn how to do the business. We make some mistakes. They kind of suck. They're costly. And we finally start to figure it out. And then we're scared to death to let someone else touch anything because if they screw up, they're going to cost us money and make mistakes, which they're going to. By the way, that's straight up going to be that's the case. You had to make mistakes, so will they. And so they don't hire. But then when they do finally hire and they find the right person, they always say to me, man, Scott, I should have done that sooner. And it's like, yeah, I know. And, you know, one of my original podcasts from a long time ago, it's a guy named Mark Good, and he came from a background in, he was in the corporate sales. And day one, he hired an assistant. He's like, I'm going to be a salesperson. I need somebody to help me with paperwork and document stuff. And so before he even did a single mortgage, he'd hired an assistant, which I think actually just, and he now the guy is, you know, practically the mayor of his town, does hundreds of mortgages a year and runs a fantastic business. But it's because he had the right psychology coming in. Often mortgage brokers were small business owners, but we keep that small mindset. And so the first step, usually that, so if you're right now, you're thinking, yeah, Scott, I don't know if I can hire. I'm not sure I'm ready yet. Usually what I have found is that the number of files that per month that starts to bog you down and will prevent you from growing is 5. So when you're closing 5 files a month, you're going to find your business feels like a roller coaster. You're going to go out, do a bunch of marketing, get business. Then you're going to get 5 files-ish. Could be different, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on how organized you are and the complexity of your files. So I get that there's no perfect number here, but once you get to that number, what typically happens is the time that you're going to spend getting those things across. And you're not just working on 5 because you got pre-approvals and other stuff you're working on, but 5 closings means a bunch of pre-approvals and a bunch of new apps. So the amount of time that you're spending on that tends to make it very difficult to go out and continue to market. And so you'll get 5 in 1 month. The next month you'll get 2. And you'll be like, shoot, I need more business. And you go do the marketing, you'll get busy again. And so you do this roller coaster. And so the easy way off that roller coaster is actually, this is going to be my first tip to you, is share an assistant with someone. So you don't actually need to hire somebody full time because you may be like, I don't know if I can afford them full time. I'd be like, maybe you can't, but hire them part time, start out part time. And so what I like about this is that it allows you to plug into someone else's assistant and have them basically free up a bunch of your time. Just think right now, I don't know if you feel like you're flat out busy, if you could get an extra 4 hours a week, 6 or 8 hours, what would you do with it? Be like, could you go out and find another deal or two, another file or two, if you had another 8 hours a week? Most of you be like, heck yeah, I could. And so the easy transition here is to share someone. And so if someone already has an assistant that you can plug into, whether you're paying them so much of their hours, or you're paying so much of a file, you can pay them by the, you know, per file, whatever, it doesn't matter. But this is generally a temporary, sharing an assistant is a great short-term solution. It is not usually a long-term solution. And the reason is that if you share it with someone, let's say, just to keep it simple, there's 2 of you. And if you're both aggressively growing, at some point that person's going to hit max capacity. And so then it becomes an end or overcapacity, and then the service drops. And so what happens there is that usually when these things happen, somebody ends up keeping you, you partner with somebody, you share an assistant, and then, you know, both of you grow your business, your assistant's overwhelmed. At some point, you got to hire more help. and you end up going different directions and somebody gets the, you know, as they say, gets the kids in the divorce. And so somebody's going to end up with that assistant. So if you really like that assistant, make sure that it's you. So treat them really well, you know, take care of them so that they, if you end up, if it doesn't work out, you get to keep that assistant, but usually sharing is the best way to go. So the pros of this are it's very cost effective. It's often less training if they already know somewhat what they're doing. So the on-ramp time, and it's extremely flexible. The cons are it's generally temporary. One of you will probably outgrow and the service level will drop. And so the assistant will end up, or the assistant gets pregnant or like any number of like, you know, they decide to become, to go out and find their own business, whatever. And so you do all these things and then it's often not, somebody's not going to be, you're not going to have a full-time long-term employee person work for you for 10 years. That's going to be shared with someone. Very unlikely. It happens, but I have not seen it happen very often. And so that'd be the first thing. Second step is, okay, so you share. The second way to do it is to hire somebody part-time. So, you know, so one last thing I'll say with the sharing assistant. So one of the things we do at Bricks is we actually have a assistant matchmaking service where we connect our brokers to assistants that are in our brokerage. And it works really well. Like they can put up their personal resume. People can be like, yeah, I'll go check this person out. And so that allows people that have unused capacity of their assistant to be like, hey, I'm not as busy as I was. Maybe I can get someone to take on some, my assistant can also help them. And then it's a little bit less money for me, but my assistant doesn't leave and go get another job. And then I'm really screwed. So it's a really great service. So that's something I think is important, is being able to share with somebody because it can be a win for both parties. So that's one. Step two, hire somebody part-time. So one of the things I love doing as a brokerage owner is I love chatting with my agents. And so I do agent calls every day. And I was talking to one of my agents, this guy's doing awesome. And I could tell he was kind of stalled. And we were talking about the five files and where he's at. And I'm like, do you have any help? He goes, no, I don't know if I can get somebody yet. I don't know if it makes sense. So we started chatting and I'm like, well, who do you know at the brokerage? And he tells me this other guy's name. I'm like, they're buddies. I'm like, he said the same thing. I talked to him last week. And I'm like, why don't you guys share somebody? And he's like, I didn't think of that. And so then what ended up happening from this is that they ended up getting somebody 4 hours a week. Sorry, 4 hours a day, part-time, that they're going to share. And they both win. So now they both can buy back their time and the thing about this, so this can be a really great solution for you is to hire somebody part-time. Now the thing about hiring somebody, and so they kind of did both, they hired and shared. So it was like neither one of them had an assistant, but they hired someone and they shared them. And so the thing about hiring somebody part-time though, is I want to control their hours to some degree. So I know I can rely on them. So, you know, work 10 to two. So a lot of times somebody who has their kids in school, they love it because they can go drop the kid off. They can pick up their kid from school, but they can work a few hours a day. So I want them there so that I can rely on them to do the things I need them to do, like order the appraisal, like prepare the document signing packages, whatever I need to track on those fulfillment documents. If they're, you know, they work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, well, guess what? Tuesday and Thursday, you're going to do their job for them. And then you're going to do it sometimes on Monday because it's just faster to do it yourself and they're not there. So do not hire somebody and have them intermittent, have a set of hours. If it was me, I would hire somebody and say, hey, look, it's part-time to start. It's going to be two, 10 to two, but eventually I'm actually want to get you to 6 hours a day. Like that would be my plan because you want to grow. Your plan is not to just, so then if they don't want that type of scenario, what'll happen? Then you get the right person. It'll actually be good for them and for you. So you start out with something like that. So the pros of this are you can get them to do more than just like a limited set of activities. Some people will go out and hire fulfillment, or they'll hire somebody and they'll pay like a fee per file, but they'll usually only just work on your files. So if you get a fulfillment person, which is fine, they're not going to do often. You're going to have to pay them extra. They're going to, I want you to call some of my database. I want you to do some of these birthday campaigns. I want you to, you know, set up an event for me that I'm going to do with one of my realtor partners. You can't get, usually when you get a fulfillment person, you don't also get fulfillment plus these other things. And so I think fulfillment is a great solution. But again, I don't think it's a long-term solution if you're trying to build a scalable business that you don't have to be there all the time. Because otherwise, you're not building a team. You're just building sort of like a bunch of mercenaries or contractors that sort of work. But I don't think it works if you want to build something that you can take a break from. But if you get this part-time assistant 4 hours a day, like these two brokers did, these two agents of mine, it works great. And so that is a great solution for you. Hire somebody part-time, you know, pay them a set number of hours per day. The other thing I do is often when I hire somebody, especially if they're new to the role, is I will make their pay a little bit less for the first 90 days. So whatever I'm going to pay them, I'll often make it a little bit lower because I've got to train them. And I'll say, here's your wage. This is what your wage is going to be after 90 days, because the first 90 days is going to be the most of your time. And so they're not actually saving you as much time to start. And so often I'll just have a slight difference for that first 90 days. And so that it just saves me a little bit of money, but also it recoups some of my costs of that initial hire. So that's the second option, hire somebody part-time. The third option would be to hire somebody full-time. And so if you're gonna hire somebody full-time, you know, one of the things, especially depending on the role, if it's highly technical, you're gonna wanna test their skill. So we've created some underwriting tests that we use for when we're hiring underwriters. One of my friends, Dustin Carlson, he has an underwriting test that he gets people to fill out. So it gives you, because I've hired people who, you know, I hired this one assistant and she'd worked for a really busy broker. She said she worked in the office and she was super busy. And I'm like, oh, amazing, this person's gonna know so much. I didn't test her. So I thought she knew, like, I'm like, okay, this broker is busier than me. And I thought I was like stealing somebody. Or I was like, oh, I just stole, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes from this person. So she comes to work for me and I quickly realized she doesn't have a hot clue what she's doing. Like when I had her open up our processing software and I was like, man, she is not very fast in here. She's obviously hasn't spent a lot of time in this. And that was my mistake that I'd made when I was hiring, because I didn't get enough clarity. So I would strongly encourage you to do some testing of any technical role. If it's an entry-level role, you're looking more for a person, you know, drive, personality, conscientiousness. Are they, you know, do they pay attention to details? But if they're technical, you've got to have some sort of a testing process, because, and then so she came to work for me and she's like, oh, I'm going to sell my house. She lived in another town, like 45 minutes away, another city, and she was going to sell her house and move close to where we were to make the commute shorter. And I was like, holy crap, I can't have you selling your house because I don't think this is going to work. And I ended up firing her after a day. Because I was like, that was a complete, you know, mistake on my part. So make sure that you test for technical roles. The thing I like about having somebody that's, you know, in a full-time position is that you can get, you know, I always say you get a gift with purchase. You hire somebody and they got a set of skills you didn't know they had. It's something they really like. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try to get you to do more of that. And so you're not necessarily trying to fill a seat on the bus, but sometimes you may get someone and you realize that they're actually way better at something else. And so you slowly move them to that role and then you backfill them. And, you know, I like having employees and in Canada anyway, it depends on where state you're in, it could be different. But if somebody has to be to work at a certain set of times, certain hours, and have to, the government is going to say that's an employee. So you can try to pay them as a contractor and you may get away with it. I know of a broker that did this and paid somebody. It was essentially, look, if you know, there's a whole test that they apply. If it looks like it's an employee, they're going to the government. If they come and audit you, they're going to say, wait a second, that's an employee, not a contractor. You owe us all, you employer, owe us all of the employee taxes, CPP, EI, all that crap. And this broker that I know, she got dinged with that. They basically went after her for all of that. And she had to pay all of it for a couple of years. And so you can play the game and you may get away with it, but you might not. And so personally, I'm more inclined to say, look, get an employee, treat them well, think long-term, give them a long-term plan. And by the way, the most successful brokers that I have seen, like the vast majority of them that are doing like consistently big numbers, they have people working for them a long time. Like that's usually like a litmus test. If somebody has like constant turnover of staff, then they probably got some, there's a problem in that organization. And usually it's a problem at the top. It's usually a leadership issue or a, you know, and I've definitely been that guy. I have 100%, you know, churned through as I learned how to, you know, manage people better and manage myself. It's been something that, but if you don't have any long-term, if somebody's been in the business a long time and no long-term employees, that's usually a red flag that there's something's off. There's something missing there. This could be, you know, any number of things, but in any case, so that's my recommendation. So step one, share an assistant, you know, someone else. That's the easiest step. Step two, hire somebody part-time. So again, don't forget if you're going to hire them part-time, don't make sure that you have set hours that you know when they're working for you. And then obviously in step three, if you're going to hire somebody full-time, make sure you test them, especially if it's technical or you could get burned. Hope you find that helpful. And you know what? I've made tons of mistakes hiring. That's only just a fraction of some of them. Honestly, I tried to jam them into this episode. And hopefully go check out the other episode on the replacement ladder. And thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Scott Beckford. And remember, there's no problem in your business that somebody else hasn't already solved. Your problem is finding the person who has the answer. I will see you on the next episode.